Thank you and good morning. Welcome once again to the Seeds of Truth. Your speaker is Robert Swain. I once noted an article on the question of how to select a family doctor, and it occurred to me while reading this discussion that men are likewise confronted with the problem of selecting a religious organization. Now, there are a number of religious groups constantly working to enlist or enroll persons upon their roll books. Perhaps you've contemplated the importance of having a church connection, but have not as yet become a member of any religious group. Or you may be one who is not satisfied with the church you have chosen. So I would like to study with you for a few moments this morning the urgent question of how one should go about choosing a church. Now, when I speak of the church, I'm talking about people, those who are children of God. I'm not talking about a building nor an organization, but of those who are saved by the blood of Christ, those who gather together to worship and serve Jehovah our God. Of necessity, there must be a place where the church assembles. There are some things which should not govern your selection. In deciding where you will worship, certain things should not be a part of the criteria used to make such a determination. First, one should not select a church because it's the most convenient. Many feel that there is no difference in religious bodies, and so it's best to attend services at the church nearest one's place of residence. Now, this may well serve as a factor in selecting a store from which to purchase your groceries, but it's hardly a logical or even scriptural reason for choosing a church. You see, one must act in religion out of conviction and not from convenience. The group meeting near you may indeed teach the truth, or it may not. So you should investigate what's being taught and determine if this teaching agrees with what the Bible teaches before making a decision. Second, one should not select a church because it has the largest membership. You know, often we hear someone boast concerning the largeness of his church and says, so many millions could not be wrong. But my friend, the number of persons who believe a thing does not determine whether it's true or false. An error multiplied by a million is still an error. Whereas, quite to the contrary, the Bible leads us to understand that the minority, not the majority, is on the side of truth. Jesus declared, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7:13-14. Now, does the language of Christ cause you to conclude that the action of the masses will furnish a safe guide? Indeed not. So one should not accept a church because of its huge membership. Size has nothing to do with the serious business of determining who is right with God. Third, one should not select a church because one likes the preacher. Who would select his mechanic solely on the ground of his likability? Though this may enter into the selection, one would want assurance that the mechanic could properly repair his automobile. A preacher may have a sparkling personality with great persuasive power, but that same preacher may be an error. He may be like Apollos, and you remember him in Acts 18:24-26. And it says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Apollos, you see, was an eloquent man, capable of not only convincing the intellect, but of moving the emotions as well. He had a certain knowledge of the